This Family Life News Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you.
It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
It's never happened before. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. For the first time in U.S. history, a former president is being tried in a court of law.
This is the start of the people of the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump.
Jury selection got underway today in the hush money trial of former President Donald Trump. Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg.
We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct.
The former president says he is the victim of a political witch hunt and thinks most Americans will see it that way.
When I walk into that courtroom, I know I will have the love of 200 million Americans behind me.
Trump's charged with 34 felony counts related to falsifying business records. Former federal prosecutor Robert Minsk says finding an impartial jury will not be easy.
Everybody knows who former President Trump is. Everybody will have an opinion one way or the other about him in terms of whether he was an effective president or not. But the real question here is, can they put all of those issues aside and simply make a decision based on the evidence that's presented in the courtroom?
Correspondent Robert Costa continues our coverage.
Trump's team is expected to use jury selection to argue he can't get a fair trial in Manhattan. And sources say they will likely push to move the case elsewhere.
The trial is the first of Trump's four criminal cases and may end up being the only one to wrap up with a verdict before the November election.
He has to be in this trial every day that it meets. That's 4 days a week. So he can't be out on the road campaigning on those days. There's also the issue of whether a conviction could turn voters against him.
Reporter Katrina Kaufman, the trial's expected to last 6 to 8 weeks. Iran versus Israel. These are tense times in the Middle East. Correspondent Richard Engel.
This could have been so much worse. Iran's attack was stopped, but had it not been, it is very likely that we would be in a new war right now with the U.S. involved.
Israel today is mulling over a counteroffensive after literally dodging a bullet over the weekend. Iran shot drones and missiles at Israel on Saturday. White House spokesman John Kirby.
It's going to be up to the Israelis to decide what the next step is here.
Kirby says if Israel strikes Iran, it is on its own. The Biden administration does not want to see a regional war. Former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman.
Remember that Iran's closest allies, it's Russia. China, also supportive of Iran, as well as North Korea. We're seeing a division of two camps here, democracies against dictatorships, and it's playing out right now with very dangerous consequences potentially in the Middle East.
Over 300 drones and missiles were shot at Israel by Iran. Just five got through, half failed on launch or crashed in flight. The rest were intercepted. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
Israel is at war with Iran. Iran hates Americans. Iran hates Jews. Iran wants to kill Americans and Jews. And if we turn the other cheek to them, we're going to get it in the neck.
President Biden is hosting the Prime Minister of Iraq at the White House today as the administration attempts to calm things down between Iran and Israel. This latest attack by Iran comes just weeks after President Biden approved a sanctions waiver that gave Tehran access to more than $10 billion. Democrats are planning to make abortion a campaign issue this year, but is that really what voters are focused on in the run-up to the election?
When we poll voters, only about 10 to 12% of them say abortion is my number one most important concern.
Dr. Lauren Wright is an expert on abortion politics at Princeton University.
There's really no consensus among Democrats or Republicans. It's a very thorny moral and political issue.
Jake Warner with Alliance Defending Freedom says pro-lifers need to do a better job making the case that abortion is not health care.
Life is a human right. Go to the ballot box and vote for laws and vote for officials who will pass laws that will protect life. It's critical that we win the hearts and minds of the culture so that abortion is unthinkable.
Experts argue as ultrasound technology advances, giving a clearer picture of that window in the womb, younger voters will become increasingly pro-life.
I have a great deal of faith in the American public. I think if they understood the abortion issue, so many would be pro-life. But you see, they've been lied to for over 50 years, so they don't understand the issue, which is why I do what I do, trying to educate them. But you're right. When you see, I mean, the technology that we have, fetoscopy, early ultrasound, when you see the reality of how complex that human being is, obviously alive.
You'll hear from the other side now. Abortion is health care. That is the rallying cry. And that's why, you know, so many states, even conservative-leaning states, have approved these referendums that expand abortion, even post-Roe. Talk to that fallacy a little bit about why abortion is not health care.
Yeah, sure. I can disprove that in exactly two statements. Every state that is protecting unborn life allows an abortion in the rare and tragic case that it is needed to save a mother's life. But I've been practicing for 30 years. I've delivered over 5,000 babies. I have never needed to do a direct abortion in order to save a woman. So it is extremely rare. And the second thing to be aware of is that approximately 90% of obstetricians will not perform an elective abortion. If it was necessary health care, every women's health care practitioner would perform that action. And the fact that almost none of us do tells you definitively it is not health care.
That is Dr. Ingrid Skop, a pro-life OBGYN from Texas, whose research on the abortion kill pill, mifepristone, led to a recent Supreme Court case. A ruling on that case is expected in June. A heavily damaged symbol of Paris will reopen later this year.
It's been 5 years since the fire that destroyed the roof and the spire of Notre Dame. The cathedral is set to reopen to the public in December, and there's a lot to do before then. There's still scaffolding up all over the building. There are teams working inside and out to get it ready, but they're all confident that it will reopen as planned. Elaine Cobb, Paris.
The Boston Marathon happened today. The date, April 15th, is the same as the race in 2013, when two bombs made from pressure cookers exploded at the finish line, killing three people, including an eight-year-old boy. The FBI's opened a criminal investigation in Baltimore in the collapse of that bridge, taken down after a cargo ship smashed into it, killing six workers. Get any sleep last night? Join the crowd.
Nearly 60% of U.S. adults feel they don't get enough sleep. That's according to a new Gallup poll. That's nearly a reverse of the figure when Gallup last polled sleeping habits in 2013. In 1942, 60% of U.S. adults were getting at least 8 hours of sleep. That's down to 25% today.
Correspondent Jim Krasula, 27-year-old Texas native Scottie Scheffler, is the best golfer in the world, and he proved it yesterday.
His stardom confirmed.
Scheffler won the Masters at Augusta. It's the second time in 3 years that he gets to don the green jacket. He's also expecting his first child and had this message for his wife, Meredith, at Sunday's press conference.
I'm coming home. I'll be home as quick as I can. Yeah, I love you, and I'm coming home.
The baby's due in just a couple of weeks, so win-win for Scottie Scheffler. Still to come on the Noon Report, cops killed in Syracuse. Allergy season is here, and gas prices are up.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Williams. Of course, it is tax day, but don't write the day off weather-wise. The afternoon shapes up fairly well across most of the area. Other forecast details in 10.
All right, Kevin, look for you then. Let's check the stories making news where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, a police officer in Syracuse and an Onondaga County Sheriff's deputy have both been shot and killed in the line of duty. It happened last night in the Sault City. Syracuse Police Chief Joseph Cecil.
We lost two heroes, two men who answered the call to duty to put on the badge and protect the community.
The shots rang out as the officers were investigating a stolen vehicle. The shooter was also killed at a home in Salina. Syracuse Mayor Ben Walsh.
It's a dark day for Syracuse. This is our worst nightmare come true. And our thoughts right now are with the families of those two officers, those heroes. And if anyone knows a police officer, give them a hug. Again, this is their worst nightmare.
The slain Syracuse cop and his partner made a traffic stop before the suspect fled to the house where the deadly shooting occurred. A New York ballot initiative this year could block parents from having any say in their child's gender reassignment surgery. It's called the Equality Amendment, but critics say a better term would be Parental Replacement Act. Proposition 1 will be decided on Election Day, November 5th, and all it needs is a simple majority to pass. Prop 1 also enshrines abortion rights into law and would expand LGBTQ rights by permitting biological boys to compete on girls' sports teams. Primary day is just 8 days away in Pennsylvania. Pollster Christopher Nicholas says when it comes to the top of the ticket this year,
Biden is about the only Democrat that Trump could beat, and Trump's about the only Republican that Biden could beat.
Nicholas does not think the abortion issue will impact the 2024 vote like it did in 2022.
Abortion really helped Democrats when the turnout's normally low. In a big turnout year like this, it's harder to juice the turnout because it's already relatively so high.
PA voters will cast ballots on April 23rd in marquee matchups for president and U.S. Senate, as well as statewide row offices like attorney general, auditor general, and state treasurer. Folks who live in the Chautauqua County, New York village of Fredonia are being asked to conserve their water today. It's because of a scheduled maintenance project at the water treatment plant. The conservation order will remain in effect until further notice. Today is April 15th. That means time to settle up with Uncle Sam.
If you haven't filed your 2023 taxes, you have until 11:59 p.m. tonight to do so. Failing to file on time could mean a penalty. And if you still owe the government its so-called fair share, it could mean a failure to pay penalty on top of that. But there are options, including filing for an extension by tonight's deadline. In some states, the tax filing and pay deadline is stretched out even longer, with certain state-observed holidays.
Jeff Manasso reporting a Pennsylvania politician wants to give a tax break to members of the National Guard. Family Life's Brian Querry has that story.
Representative Dane Watrow unveiled a proposal last week to exempt income from Pennsylvania National Guard service from the Pennsylvania personal income tax. That rate is currently 3.07%. Watcher has said that National Guard members help ensure our country and community stay safe and prosperous, and in honor of those sacrifices, he hopes to see the state reward these heroes for their bravery and valor through this exemption. In the Guard, income varies depending on rank and time of service. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Brian. Don't look now, but gas prices continue to go in the wrong direction. They're up another 6 cents a gallon from last week. Regular unleaded in New York averaging $3.51 a gallon, just a hair under the national average. It's $3.71 a gallon on average in Pennsylvania. That's 15 cents higher per gallon than just 1 month ago. 'Tis the season for the sneezing. Those of you who suffer from springtime allergies, get ready. It's going to be a rough next few weeks.
Allergy sufferers will be doing, unfortunately, just that, suffering.
Dr. Stanley Schwartz is an allergy expert at the University of Buffalo School of Medicine.
I think we may see further increase in tree allergies. And then the grass season is literally going to start very, very shortly. And I have a feeling we're going to have a real barn burner of an allergy season.
More than 80 million Americans deal with itchy eyes, runny nose, and other symptoms associated with seasonal allergies. Get ready. Here it comes. Hey, this is the Noon Report, a Monday edition right here on the Family Life Radio Network. All right, let's check sports next. Scottie Scheffler earning another green jacket after finishing atop the leaderboard at the 2024 Masters in Augusta. The 27-year-old Texan posting a 4-stroke victory as he wins his second Masters in the past 3 years. The NBA regular season wrapped up Sunday. The Boston Celtics clinched the top seed in the East. Out West, the Oklahoma City Thunder are number one. The play-in tournament features 7th-seeded New Orleans hosting the Lakers. tomorrow night while the Sacramento Kings take on the Golden State Warriors. In the East, the Philadelphia 76ers will host the Miami Heat in the play-in tournament while the Chicago Bulls take on the Atlanta Hawks. Cincinnati Bengals receiver T. Higgins will be back next year. The 25-year-old was recently given the franchise tag. Higgins missed 5 games last season due to injury. He's expected to make $22 million next year. The WNBA draft is tonight, and Iowa Hawkeyes scoring sensation Caitlin Clark will be the top overall pick. She'll be playing next year for the Indiana Fever, which was awarded the top selection in the draft lottery back in December. Baseball action. The Yankees fall in extra innings to the Guardians 8-7 with the win. Cleveland avoids the sweep. Boston picked up a game on New York, beating the Angels 5-4. The Pirates top the Phillies 9-2. Andrew McCutchen, club career home run number 300 in that one, with a 2-run shot in the ninth. The Mets beat the Royals 2-1 in interleague play. Brandon Nimmo recording the go-ahead RBI after walking with the bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth. Edwin Diaz picked up the save. The Mets host the Pirates for a 3-game set starting tonight at Citi Field. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Monday, Israel versus Iran, issues in education, and Trump on trial in New York.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today, too many Christians have a privatized understanding of faith, believing that we're called to just keep our heads down and to avoid controversy at all cost. In some circles, controversy itself is a sign that we've done something wrong. But this is not the kind of life or the kind of opposition that Jesus warned us about. Doing the right thing is seldom popular and never easy. From William Wilberforce and the Clapham sect to Egyptian Coptic martyrs kneeling on a Liberian beach, the commitment to a gospel faith that impacts every part of life is going to cost us something. In other words, it's going to require courage. Courage is a commitment to both speak and live the truth about God, the world, people, and His plan for redemption, no matter what the consequences are for us. And without it, especially in a world like ours, we'll end up with a kind of shriveled and ineffective faith, one without power to impact the wider world. Or as C.S. Lewis once put it, quote, "Courage is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue at the testing point, which means at the point of highest reality." Well, today especially, I think we've hit a kind of cultural moment where many of us will face that testing point at a new level. It's where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, and finding out where our faith really is. If we're going to succeed in sharing our hope and living out our faith in this cultural moment, we're going to need courage. And courage doesn't just happen. It's a virtue, and virtues have to be cultivated. And given our current need for courage, we've centered the entire Colson Center National Conference this year around the theme of courageous faith. The conference will take place May 30th to June 2nd in Arlington, Texas at the brand new Loews Arlington Hotel. The conference will explore the theme of courage with the aim of strengthening believers to live out their faith courageously in whatever way God is calling them to do so. All of our speakers, all of the breakouts, will equip you to develop the kind of courage you need by displaying how to be agents of restoration right where God has placed you. After quickly selling out the conference earlier in the year, we're very excited to announce now that we've been able to acquire some additional space and open up an additional round of tickets. To see the speaker lineup and to secure your spot, we've got just a few additional seats now available. Go to ColsonConference.org. That's ColsonConference.org. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Thank you, John. Outside next, Kevin Williams.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. A mix of clouds and sunshine. Can't rule out a brief shower in central New York. Mild with high temps in the lower to mid-60s and clearing out tonight. Low temps, 30s and low 40s. Sunny tomorrow, high temps in the 60s. Wednesday, cloudy, a few showers around. High temperatures, mid-50s to the middle 60s.
All right, thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Lots happening Monday, the 15th of April. Jury selection is underway in former President Trump's historic hush money trial in New York. It's the first time an ex-president has ever been tried in a criminal court. Correspondent Brooke Singman.
The jury selection process could take up to 2 weeks. Now, potential jurors will be asked 42 total questions, including which cable, print, and social media platforms they get their news from. They will also be asked if they have ever attended a Trump campaign event, if they follow him on social media, and if they have ever attended anti-Trump rallies.
The former president's lawyer is confident the facts are on his side.
One of the craziest things about this case was the fact that what we're dealing with here are misdemeanor offenses that through this weird legal alchemical process, Alvin Bragg has attempted to convert into felony offenses. I truly believe the truth is on President Trump's side, and there's nothing that any of these witnesses or anything the New York DA can do to change that basic fact.
Trump facing 34 felony counts related to alleged payments to cover up an extramarital affair. The ex-president denies the charges. The trial's expected to last 6 to 8 weeks. President Biden hosting the Prime Minister of Iraq at the White House today, a couple of days after Iran fired a barrage of missiles at Israel. The Biden administration's trying to de-escalate tensions and warns Israel if it retaliates against Iran, it's on its own. Here's White House spokesman John Kirby.
There's no reason for this to escalate further, and of course we're not looking for a war with Iran.
Louisiana Senator John Kennedy has tough words for President Biden.
With respect, go to Amazon and buy a spine online. Peace through weakness never works.
Former U.S. intelligence officer Rebecca Koffler.
Israel must respond forcefully because what Iran has done, it crossed Israel's red line.
Over 300 drones and missiles were shot at Israel by Iran on Saturday. Just 5 got through. Half failed on launch or crashed in flight. The rest were intercepted. A Syracuse police officer and an Onondaga County sheriff's deputy were shot and killed last night in the line of duty. They were responding to reports of a stolen vehicle. The driver of the vehicle fired at them from a home in Salina, a suburb of Syracuse.
This is a very, very sad day. It's surreal.
Onondaga County Executive Ryan McMahon.
Our thoughts, our prayers are with the families of these officers, their extended families, their colleagues, our entire law enforcement community. The work they do is so unappreciated at times.
The suspect was also killed in the shooting. You and I shopped more last month. Retail sales rose a better than expected 0.7%, a little less than February's numbers after a January sales decline. Today is tax day, but if you're not quite done with your taxes, there's still time. If you're in a crunch, you'll need to file for an extension. That'll give you another 6 months to get your fiscal house in order. If you are getting a refund, hang tight. The IRS says you should expect it in 2 to 3 weeks. The executor of O.J. Simpson's estate says the late football star will be cremated. His brain will not be provided for a CTE study, says reporter Michael Kastner.
Malcolm Laverne, who had served as Simpson's lawyer, said he has received at least one request to study the effects of possible head injuries to his brain. Laverne said Sunday there are tentative plans for a private celebration of life gathering for family and close friends. Simpson was the father of 5 children, 3 with his first wife and 2 with his second wife, Nicole Brown Simpson. In what was called the trial of the century, O.J. Simpson was acquitted for the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
Michael Kastner reporting the estate of Simpson says it does not plan on paying his civil trial judgment either. More on that from reporter Tammy Trujillo.
Although Simpson was acquitted of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman in 1995, a civil court found him liable for the deaths 2 years later and ordered him to pay $33 million to the victims' families. Simpson avoided paying most of the money while he was alive. Now his legal team says it doesn't plan on paying the rest. Simpson's executor said he was going to tone down the rhetoric after telling the Las Vegas Review-Journal he'll do everything he can to make sure, quote, the Goldmans get zero, nothing. Malcolm Laverne called his comments pretty harsh and said he was responding to a debt collection lawyer representing the Goldman family.
The world's oldest conjoined twins have just passed away. Lori and George Chappelle died at a hospital at the University of Pennsylvania. They were 62. The twins were joined at their foreheads. You're listening to the Noon Report, a Monday edition on Family Life. And Welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues impacting our schools with Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Ralph, welcome back to the program, sir. Lots to dig into this week.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be with you again today.
Hey, we are still waiting for a state budget in New York. It is late again, and schools are in fiscal dire straits, to say the least. Many have already proposed laying off teachers and staff. It's kind of all over the state this is happening. Want to ask you, was this financial belt tightening preventable? And what's the latest with the proposed changes to the school funding formula?
Well, probably sometime this week there will be a budget in place, but certainly this could have been prevented on the part of schools, and they are really in trouble at this point because they, during the COVID, where they got a lot of extra money from the federal government, instead of using that money, which is was intended for to help online learning happen better, they went out and hired a whole bunch of additional staff, both teachers and support staff, with not taking into consideration that was short term money, and now it has indeed run out. And so, as you said, many districts are looking at laying off teachers and staff. If it doesn't happen in your district this year, it will next year because there's just not the money to support it going on into the future.
Quick follow up. A lot of the complaint has been, why is it the teachers that are being laid off and not the administration? It seems like whenever there's layoffs, it's always teachers and never administrators. Is that a valid argument?
Well, certainly the area of administration needs to be looked at whenever there are cutbacks. In some districts, there's no doubt that there are too many administrators. You know, we just need another boss.
Yeah.
Too many chiefs, not enough Indians, so to speak. But it is unfortunate, obviously, when anybody is laid off, because the people that are being laid off, it wasn't their fault for the decisions that were made earlier by the superintendent and the boards.
Well, hey, the teacher shortage crisis is a problem in both New York and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is doing something about it. Governor Shapiro just this month and recently signed an order that allows student teachers to apply for stipends that can pay them up to $15,000. This is for student teachers. Since 2011, Ralph, there's been a 70% drop in the number of certified teachers in the Commonwealth. How do you think this stipend will help in reversing the teacher shortage problem?
Well, I think it's a variation on a theme that many states are now looking at, and that is paying student teachers a stipend with the condition that while they complete their bachelor's degree and in some cases even their master's, that they would commit to work for that district maybe for 2 years after they receive their degree. So it's worthwhile in that sense. But let me just add one word of caution. It takes a special person to be a teacher. And if your motivation for being a student teacher is to pick up $15,000, that's not going to help you in the end. Student teaching really is intended to help students decide whether teaching is for them or not. As long as you keep that in mind, I think it'll work out fine.
If you're looking to get into teaching to get rich, keep looking.
Because
it's not going to happen.
Professors.
Yeah. And there are so many wonderful teachers out there, too. We want to encourage them as much and as often as we can. And then finally, Ralph, it's coming up fast in New York. Prospective school board candidates, and you have just a week left to get your petitions in. April 22nd is the deadline that they must be in. That vote on school boards is May 21st this year. Ralph, what are some of the responsibilities of school board members in New York?
Well, on our website, whyrun.org, we have a section that answers that question specifically. But let me just hit three of the most important ones in my mind. One is that it's the board's responsibility to hire and evaluate the superintendent of schools. And that's, in my mind, is the most important decision that school boards make. Secondly, they need to work together with the administration and other board members to create a shared vision for what how the district's going to look and how it's going to operate. And then thirdly, the board adopts the annual budget for presentation to the community, which ultimately impacts the tax rate. In other words, what do people pay in their school taxes? So those are just three of the really important things that school boards do. Let me just say that I spoke recently with somebody who was still considering running for their school board. And as you said, there's not much time left, but I certainly encourage people that think maybe God is prompting them to move in that area to make that final step and get your petition in very quickly.
All right. Yeah, there's just a week left in New York for you to do that. And if you want to know more about what it takes to run for school board, maybe I should consider running for school board. Ralph, you have a wonderful website where folks can go and learn more about that very topic. What is it?
Just simply whyrun.org, whyrun.org. And by the way, did you say Bob Price was running for school board?
I did not, but thanks for playing along. Yeah, that Dr. Kerr is a funny guy. Issues in education comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org. Just look for the news tab on our podcast page.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, it certainly was an active day in parts of the area yesterday with crashing rumbles of thunder from the Finger Lakes into parts of Pennsylvania. The front that generated that activity is gone, though, and high pressure is building in, and the prospects are fairly high for some fairly pleasant weather, at least in the short term. Our next weather maker is a front that will deliver a few showers by late Tuesday night and Wednesday. For this afternoon, a mix of clouds and sunshine. Can't rule out a brief shower in central New York, mild with high temps in the lower to mid-60s, and clearing out tonight, low temps 30s and low 40s. Sunny tomorrow, high temps in the 60s. Wednesday, cloudy, a few showers around. High temperatures, mid-50s to the middle 60s.
All right, Kevin, excellent work as always at the Weather Center. And finally at noon, calling all bird watchers. The state DEC is challenging residents to look out for birds with this year's iBird New York Challenge.
Pretty bird. Yeah, can you say pretty bird?
The Department of Environmental Conservation is asking birders of all ages to get involved, get outside, and identify some of New York's 450 different native bird species. How about that? Now, participants can look for birds in your backyard, at a local park, or hiking trail, wherever birds congregate. Those taking part in the iBird New York Challenge will need to log each bird sighting, the location of that sighting, and the date that the bird was seen. Once your form's filled out, simply send it back to the DEC by mail or email. And experts tell us the springtime is the best time to bird watch. And that's the world we live in, folks. Monday, April 15th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this Family Life News podcast. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, please share it with others and click the subscribe button to automatically receive future episodes. Family Life is a listener-supported ministry. Podcasts like this are made possible by your financial partnership. Find out more at familylife.org.